We are learning Shmuel Beis. We are on Perek Yotes. Perhaps we will finish the Perek today. No promises. We are on page 336, Pasuk Lamed Beis. So, we were learning last week about a whole bunch of people coming to David, after David is now reinstated as the king. He is going to be crossing the Yarden, the Jordan, and ultimately going back to Yerushalayim. One of the main figures that we spoke about last week was Mephibosheth, which was from Pasuk Chaf Hei, and how Mephibosheth, of course, was directly related to Shaul, namely his grandson. And perhaps you would think that David would not have been nice to him, but of course was not the case. He sat at the table and ate at the table of David, which we discussed whether that was a nice thing or not a nice thing. And the whole question of whether David was Mekabel, Lashon Hara, the words that were said by Tziva, that perhaps that Mephibosheth just didn't really like David, but we know that seemingly is not the case. When he came showing signs of avelus, he was showing signs of mourning. So that was Mephibosheth. Now we continue. It's brought down in Pasuk Chaf Hei, all the different things that he did not do. Different commentators, exactly. He didn't wash his hair. Some say his fingernails were not. He wasn't groomed. All these different things he did not do. It was a sign of, not necessarily of mourning of a death, but showing. It's a form of you know, a sign of mourning, signs of avelus. It wasn't mourning over anyone's death, but that David was mistreated as such. That's how he reacted, which, as we mentioned, certainly someone who is directly related to Shaul, you would maybe think would be doing the opposite. He'd be rejoicing, but instead he did all these other things. So that was Mephibosheth. So now let's see another a colorful figure, which is Pasuk Lamed Beis, and let's see his interactions.
Can you just remember, Matt, where was Mephibosheth mentioned previously? Where did he came up? Yeah, I know. What was the context of it?
Mephibosheth, as one of the things of Mephibosheth was ki piseach avdecha, that he unfortunately was lame. He was not capable of walking, and therefore that made him it made it difficult for him to join David when David is running away. Mephibosheth stayed in Yerushalayim. So when Siva, who was the servant of Mephibosheth, went to David to bring some items, some food and camel, donkeys filled with all these things. Yeah, that's the animal. he mentioned, you know, I came, but this Mephibosheth character, he does not like you. He just really wants to rebel against you. That's why he didn't want to come. Which, of course, is not true. He didn't come because it was difficult or impossible for him to physically make the trip because of his physical disabilities.
Wasn't he mentioned even before?
Right, David took care of him.
He promised his father that he was looking care of him.
It's also mentioned, like, when Shaul died, as well as his children died at the same time in the battle, which is the end of Shmuel Aleph, very end, Mephibosheth didn't fight in the war. Why didn't he fight? Why is he the remaining heir to the throne, if you will? Because he physically couldn't fight. So anyone who fought
died.
And so Mephibosheth was the remaining heir, if you will, the last remnant of the throne of Shaul. But he wasn't a threat, as we mentioned, because
David had promised to take care of him.
David promised to take care of him. He promised Yonatan, who was the son of Shaul, right? And you would think that as the whole unique relationship of David and Yonatan was, even though you would think Yonatan should want to hate David because he should be the next in line, Yonatan had a very close bond with him. And when Yonatan and David parted, say it gently, that was a promise that David made, that he would always care for his future children, his descendants. So, anyway, let's. Do you want to maybe finish the parak, so let's start. Pasuk Lamed Beis. No, Barzilai Hagiladi. Barzilai. Who is Barzilai of Gilad? So, if you look on the bottom on page 336, Barzilai was one of those who brought food and supplies to David and his men when they were in flight. Now when they were triumphantly returning to Jerusalem, Barzilai came again to share in the joy, and David showed his gratitude. So unlike other people who are begging forgiveness, please don't kill me, if you boast us a little bit, certainly the person that we saw before this, in the Psukim, which we saw a few weeks ago, Shimi, who was very disrespectful, Barzilai was never disrespectful. He was very kind to David. And therefore, now let's see this interaction. Barzilai Hagiladi Yored Miroglim. So, Barzilai came down from this place. V'yavor es hamelach hayarden, v'shalcho es hayarden. So he went to cross the Yarden, because after all, that is where David was at the time, to be able to see the melech, to be able to see and the king, v'shalcho, Rashi says, lavato, to accompany David by the Jordan. So you can walk with him step by step. Barzilai, now this is the next few sentences, which seem a little bit harsh. And I can't skip these sentences. They're hard to understand, but perhaps we can make some sense out of it with some of these commentators. Barzilai zakin ma'od. Barzilai wasn't just an old guy. He was zakin ma'od. He was a really, really old guy. He was a very, very old guy. So it says zakin ma'od, right? We don't find anywhere else that someone's called a zakin ma'od, right? Avraham, it says Avraham was a zakin, you know, he was Baba Yamim. Nowhere does it say zakin ma'od. So how old was this guy? Was he 300 years old? The pasuk tells us ben shmonim shana. He was 80. Is that such a zakin ma'od? Very strange language. Obviously, the commentators gravitate toward that because it, on one level, you would have to say if in fact 80 equals zakin ma'od, then you don't have to say zakin ma'od, right? Obviously, this is a special situation where this person was 80 years old. Physically, he was, you know, biological, whatever, he was 80. But the way that he conducted himself, his appearance gave him, you know, the impression to others that he was much older than 80, right? He didn't take care of himself. We're going to see in Rashi what was that other explanations why he was zakin ma'od. And why we need to know that, you'll see this in the next few sentences. But who chilkal as hamelch b'yeshiva so b'machanoim, chilkal is translated in Mesudas Sion in Sibuk HaMazon, that Barzilai used to provide food for the king. Ki ish gadol hu ma'od. Again, you see the word ma'od. Interesting. he was an ish gadol, a very great person. What does it mean? He's a prominent individual, a tzaddik. No. Rashi says, ki ish gadol hu ba'osher. He was wealthy. He had a lot of money. So therefore, he was considered an ish gadol. Unfortunately, what was that?
Is it in wisdom also?
What? Zakin could mean Zeshekana Chachma. That's what Zakin means. Someone requires knowledge. All right, so Zakin Ma'od, you'd maybe think.
Wisdom.
He is very, very smart.
The wise people.
Right, right. So the Zakanim, the 70 elders, but they're Zakanim, the ones who are the wise.
Zakin Ma'od.
Isn't
Kilkel
to
Lord?
No, Kalkala
is.
Defeat.
That's with a kuf.
So, he was a very wealthy person, which maybe on some level it just explains how he was able to support David for so long. But it also can show, like, big deal. So, if I'm a very wealthy person, so what if I can give a couple morsels of bread to David? It's not the biggest deal. But you're right, Zakin Ma'od, perhaps you can have that connotation as well, representing his wisdom. But we don't really see that as we're going to, at least in the context of the next few sentences, but perhaps we'll flesh this out a little bit better when we go through this together. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, V'yomer HaMelech El Barzilai. So David wants to show his appreciation, his Hakarat HaTov, gratitude to Barzilai. He says, Ata Avori Iti, why don't you come with me and cross over the Yarden, V'chilkalti, there's the word again, Otcha, Imadi B'Yerushalayim. And because of all the things that you have done, you sustain me, now I will in turn sustain and take care of you in Yerushalayim. So I want to be able to take care of you. Now, on some level, you can say, that's very nice if the guy is dead broke. You know, you're doing me a favor. You know, you're letting me into your soup kitchen every day at 11 o'clock. But this guy's he's usher. He says he's very, very wealthy. The fact that the king is going to give me some food, that doesn't really do much for me. But that's not his response. V'yomer Barzilai El HaMelech. Barzilai says, Kami Mei Shnei Chayai. How many are the days of my life? How many years old am I? Basically, he wasn't asking it because he didn't remember. He's basically saying, as it's translated in English, how many are the days remaining?
Right.
That's how. It's not really what it means, but it's like, look at my age. Ki Eles HaMelech Yerushalayim. You want me to go all the way to Yerushalayim? You want me? I can't physically go that far. After all, Ben Shmonim Shana Nochi Hayom. Maybe it's his birthday. He says, I'm 80 years old today. I'm in that range, perhaps. Eida Ben Tov Lora. Do you think I know the difference between good and bad? Which you would hope by the time you hit 80, maybe you do know the difference between good and bad. But
it shows you how smart he was.
In what way?
Speaking like this to the king.
Why? Why does
he's
this make him smart?
He's refusing him, but he's doing it in a way that he's believing himself. So the king can't be
insulted.
Right. That's very good. Im Yitam, that's very possible. Im Yitam Abdecha Es Asher Oichal Es Asher Eshte. So what are you going to do? You're going to give me all the delicacies, all the delicious foods, all the, I don't know, what's a good food? Sushi. And all the best drinks imaginable. The nicest single malt scotch and delicious old wine. It's not going to mean anything to me. Nimesh ma'od. Do you think I can hear anything? Bekol sharim v'sharot. All of the beautiful songs that are constantly being sung in your palace by the men and by the women. Why would you want a masa, this burden, to be placed upon you, my master, my king? What do you want me to be schlepping me around all over the place? I am of no value to you. All I'm going to be is just a burden. I'm just going to be a thorn in your side. And after all, you want to offer me all these things. My sense of taste isn't the same. My hearing isn't so good. My tasting isn't so good. All of these things are no longer as they were. So for you to offer me all these things, it's not really going to be very beneficial.
Was Kol Ishar permitted in those days?
It's a very good question. It shouldn't be. If it's Asur, it's Asur.
You know what? It's a Sharot. It's a Musa.
So if you will, the Masuda Sion, well, the Masuda Sion translates this, the words, I wasn't going to get into it, but it is brought down over here. The Masuda Sion translates the words of Sharim v'Sharos as Mishorim u'Mishoros, which has to do with the word shir,
singing,
which means male singers and female singers. So this is what it says in the Sefer Mishpatot Zahav, L'chora. Yesh la'ayin, we should really look into this matter. V'akol v'isha erva, because it's actually a Gemara in Brachot in the third parak. It says that the voice means the singing, the melodies that come forth from a woman is something in which is a lack of complete modesty. V'chi al shulchanu shel David hayu misharos. So David, who's this tzaddik, David says he's a chassid. So what does he do? He allows Paul Abdul face all these people coming and singing in front of him. Yeah, Marilyn Monroe, whatever, right? Whatever the generation was. The Kfar Kasu HaPoskim She'en L'Hakil L'Shmo Kol Nashim HaMasharis Yachad. He says that there are some poskim that are not lenient, but which means that there are some that are lenient, that who allow Kol Nashim, the men, voice of women, HaMasharis Yachad, if they're all singing together, so that the voices are not discernible. So you cannot hear one woman in particular. So when it, and that's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like there's just one person standing up there and singing, but it was a group of people in a choir. And that's something in which some people are lenient in. So that's one of the ways that this question is answered. Okay, it's also possible that Barzillai doesn't really know what's going on in the palace, and he just throws that out there, not knowing that David wouldn't have such a thing going on. It doesn't.
Or he does.
Or maybe he does know, right? Maybe it is what's going on.
What he's saying is exactly the opposite of Mephibosheth.
Which is?
He says, what you gave Mephibosheth is not for me.
Right. Right. Yeah. So this, but this is, he's basically, the theme of what he's saying is that I have no taiva, I have no desire for anything which is physical.
I don't need anything. Thank you.
Thanks, no, but no thanks. You. Correct. So that's one interpretation exactly what this means. So what exactly does this mean? So let's look in, if we can look in Rashi and Pasuk Lamed Vav just for a moment. Rashi says, Eida bein tov ra. Do I know them between good and bad?
I don't see Rashi Lamed.
Maybe I didn't underline it.
Oh, yeah.
It's, yeah. Ho'eda ben tova ra. Okay? It's in the middle of there.
I thought it said lamazayu.
Yeah, it's above. Ben machal tov, he didn't mention about his eyesight. He mentioned about his eating and his hearing.
And I'm not 80.
There you go. Ben machal tov machal ra. It doesn't mean he doesn't know the difference between good and bad. You'd imagine that once you reach that age, you should acquire some level of knowledge. But it does, when he says that the good and bad means I don't know the difference between good food, great food, you give me a cup of wine. Yeah, man, what do I know about these things? The Omer Ramosenu Zal, now we get into a little bit of an insight into who this person was, which kind of leans toward not wanting to say that this was such a great tzaddik. That it says in the Talmud in Shabbos, Shituv Bezima Haya, Lefichach Kovtsa Olav Zikna. Shita Bezima.
What does that mean?
It's it means around. Whoa, 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 I guess. What?
It's been around.
Okay.
What does Zima mean?
With lewdness. That he was engaged in certain physical immoral activities.
Yes, when there's a result, you get sick.
Maybe. Because of that, Kupsal of Zikna, he got sick. This is before certain viruses in the 80s came about.
But
seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the idea of why, right, what the Gemara is saying is why he was a zakein ma'od. He was very, very old because he attached himself so heavily into the physical world that it just completely destroyed him physically of all the different things that he pursued. And I'm not sure if this is brought down. I can't remember where I saw this, but if a person doesn't have something all the time, so then you can, once in a while, when you have something delicious, you can very much appreciate it. But once you have everything all the time, it loses its significance. It loses its value. So perhaps that's what the Gemara is telling of Shita Bezima. He just had everything all the time, so now that David says, oh, I'm going to give you the most extravagant foods and drinks, he's going to be like, it doesn't mean anything.
Been there, done that,
right. So it doesn't mean anything to me. So that could be the idea of that he's a zakein, because he's lived many, many lives. He's lived a lot more than perhaps he should have. Right. There's one thing to be experienced, it's a good thing, but maybe too much experience is not such a good thing either. And that's the idea. And some people would want to learn it, to have a different spin on it, which the Mishpat Zos Zahav says, and just one line I'd like to share with you. In the Kodesh Baruch Hu Hevi as Hazikna L'ol Motachos Zu. The reason why Hashem put upon a person, a certain age, Kedei Sha'adam Yechen Es Atzmol Chayom Haba, so that they should be able to focus on the spiritual matters of this world. That you should begin detaching and removing yourself from the physicality of this world and start directing your attention on things which are more important, things which are eternal, things which are spiritual, helping and giving, loving. These are things in which Hashem purposely created that the level of taiva that a person has, certain desires for certain physical things, that they decrease in age. Perhaps they're earlier in certain ages in order to ensure that the world will be populated, but and they'll have a certain energy level. But when a person gets older, for them not to have those same physical drives so that they can spend more time focusing on things which are more important in life. Okay.
So that's the opposite spin.
Right, that's what you said. That's or it's just the whole concept of what Barzillai is a typical individual who no longer focuses on the physical. But yeah, absolutely, it's a very different way of looking at it.
Can anybody comment on his name, Barzillai?
It's not the first time he's mentioned.
It's an interesting name.
It is a very interesting.
Mean what his business is about.
He's
Barzillai.
He was the steel. U.S. Steel.
Steel.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what he did for a living, how he attained his wealth.
Maybe he was very strong. He might have been. It's a very strong name.
I'm not sure.
Nobody talks to me.
I'm sure they do. But this is just not the first time it's mentioned, so I don't recall of his name. It's something worthwhile doing some research on that. I'll be a burden to you. Kemat pasig lamed zayin. Kemat yavar avdecha as hayardein as hamalach. So he says, I appreciate your offer and everything. It's a burden. And so basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to accompany you and I'm going to cross the Yardain, kemat, for a little bit. So why are you trying to reward me as being gemilas chasadim, to be goimel, to be giving me such a reward? It's not something in which I really need. Yoshev no avdecha umus beiri, please just leave me be and let me die in my city. Im kever avi v'imi, together with my ancestral plot, with my parents are buried. Dini avdecha kingdom yavor imadoni hamelach vaslois asher tov be'inecha. But since you are offering, there is a boy by the name of Kimham who happens to be my son, and he can join you, and you can do for him that which is tov be'inecha, whatever is good in your eyes. So for me, leave me be. I'll be fine. But perhaps all the things that you wish to do for me, can do for my son. And that would be most appreciated. And if you look in the English, it says in 37-38, Barzillai agreed to accompany David across the Jordan, but he wanted to return to his ancestral home afterwards. And it says on the top, in his place he would send his son Kimham to go with David, and the king would determine how he could best utilize Chimnam's talents, which is basically what he was asking David, if that would be okay, and apparently that's something which David was more than happy to accept. So that's the interaction with Barzillai. Now we continue with the next pasuk lamentas. Vayomer hamelach, so the king said, iti yavor kimham, so kimham will also cross the Yardain with me, v'ani esalo esato b'enecha, and as you wish, I will do exactly which is good in your eyes. V'chol asher tivchar alai esaloch, and that which, anything you choose for me, I shall do for you. And this is basically David is saying, now whatever you want, whatever I was going to do for you, I'm going to do for him. V'yavar kol am as Hayardain v'hamelch avar. So what ended up happening across the Yardain? The king was crossing the Yardain, v'yishak hamelch with Barzillai, and as they were crossing, David was together with Barzillai, and so he kissed Barzillai v'yabarchehu, and he gave him some type of a bracha, doesn't say what it was, v'yashav l'mkomo, and he went back to his place, which is exactly what Barzillai wanted, and Barzillai's son apparently stayed there. So this is how everything has unfolded. Yavar HaMelech HaGilgala V'Kimam Amar Imam. So now you have Kimham, who is remaining with David, and as David crosses over to Gilgal, and Kimham is with him, V'chol Am Yehuda He'eviru Es HaMelech V'gam Chatzi Am Yisrael. It wasn't just a couple of people, but rather Yehuda came, as well as half of the Jewish people, half of Am Yisrael, a huge amount of people, thousands and thousands of people accompanying David back to Yerushalayim. So, when we hear this, we have to remind ourselves that it was Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, who was encouraged to go back to accompany David, because otherwise, what will people say? People will say that Yehuda, who of course is David's tribe, they don't really care about David. And if they don't care about David, so why should we care about David? So they said, you guys all have to go to the front lines and walk hand in hand with David to show how much you care, right? To welcome him. So when you hear this, you would think that everyone would listen and understand. But the truth is, Klal Yisrael was offended by the ways of Yehuda, in the way that they behaved in welcoming back David, as we're now going to see in the next psukim. V'hine kol ish Yisrael bo'im el ha-melech. So all the Jewish people, they went to the king, v'yamar el ha-melech, and they asked the question. They were bothered, right? Madua genavucha acheinu ish Yehuda. Why did the tribe of Yehuda genavucha steal you? After all, they grabbed hold of you, and they brought you and your household across the Yarden, and all the people of David with him. So if you look in the Radak over here in Pasuk Mem Beis, the Radak tells us, Genavucha, which means Geneva, again, to steal, Shavirucha B'Seser, that it was the difference between Geneva and Gazela. They both mean some form of stealing. Gazela is that you put the gun to me and say, money your life, kid. And I contemplate for a second. All right, fine, take my money. That's the old joke. Anyway, but that's publicly stealing. You know who is the person who's stealing. A ganav is someone who breaks into your house in the middle of the night and you had no idea that who they were and what their intentions were. So in that situation, that's something which is done in private, which there are different halachic, there's certain laws. A person who's a ganav, for some reason, the Torah considers as worse, because you have to pay double, which is called kefel. Suppose if you steal at gunpoint, you only have to give back the principal, the object itself. Pretty easy after all to catch the person, you know who it was. Very different, different psychological reasons why one does this. We're not going to get into that. The Radak tells us that that's why they use this choice of word, that they didn't say gazela, that you stole him out in the open, which you would think he kind of did because everyone sees their behavior, but it was done in a very deceptive, quiet, sneaky way, right? Shavirucha b'seser. It was done sneakily. Sneaky, that was a good word. L'hashaviyachas el ha-malchus b'lo-rishotenu, that you went without permission. Who am I supposed to ask permission to? What does that mean? But you kind of just did it without letting people know your intentions, because if people would have known your intentions, we would have all joined you. We would have all come with you as well. So what ends up happening is that you're doing so much, but you doing so much gives the impression that I don't care. I care. I do care about David. And by you showing that you're going gung-ho and running, it makes us look bad. We understand your intention is that you know, he's part of your tribe. But by you showing so much allegiance to him, it gives the impression that it's only the tribe of Yehuda. And perhaps that could be a big problem, that people who don't really understand what's going on see what's unfolding before their eyes, and they see a tribe of Yehuda, and then you see everyone else. And that wasn't the case. We want achdus. We want to do things together. We want unity. And you caused this huge problem by showing this disconnect between David and the rest of the Jewish nation.
It's politics. It's like a partisanship.
Just like this is what he was told. Yomrel HaMelech. This is a complaint straight to the king, right? So the king doesn't get a break over here. There's the slightest thing. And then what did I do? I just got here, you know?
You can't win.
So why did this go on? And it's not like, it's a Madua Genavucha. It's interesting that it wasn't said to Yehuda. It wasn't said to the tribe. They came to the king. Perhaps the idea is that David perhaps could have expressed this to Yehuda. He should have been more sensitive to have realized that we're kind of excluding everyone else, and let's include the rest of Klal Yisrael, not just Yehuda. So perhaps that's the reason why they approached the king directly, so that he should be able to respond, or he should have responded differently. Pasuk Mem Gimel. V'yan kol ish. So it's interesting that David was the one who was asked the question.
And everybody's answering.
But David's not answering. He's just sitting back thinking to myself, what do I say? Do I say this? Do I say that? You know what? I'm just going to be silent over here and just see what happens, right? Hopefully this issue will just somehow dissolve. Somehow things will get resolved by themselves. Yan kol ish Yehuda al kol al ish Yisrael. Exactly. What exactly does that mean? That all them were saying it's all them. Ki karv hamelech elad. But this was the gist of how the tribe of Yehuda, this is what they said, because ki karv hamelech elad. He's close to us. Not to the exclusion of you, but I'm talking about in blood, right? He's a blood relative. He's from the tribe of Yehuda. V'lama zechar locha. What is this business that you have chara, that you're angry, you have this wrath? Well, what's the problem, all Dumber said in this matter? Achol achanu min hamelech im niseis nisalanu. What, you think we came here so that we can get a free lunch? We came here to get more food, right? More provisions for tax benefits. We decided to accompany the king, or like lobbyists trying to take advantage over here. We didn't do it for our intentions. We did it for the sake of the king. We weren't trying to take anything for ourselves. So therefore, you shouldn't be offended. We're not interested in being treated any differently than you. Vayan ish Yisrael as ish Yehuda. So again, the people of Yisrael respond to the people of Yehuda. Vayomer, he says, Eser yados liv amelech, that I have 10 times as much share in the king. Eser yados. 10 hands, 10 fingers, 10 hands. V'gam b'David ani mimcha, and also with David, it's translated here. I have more than you do.
Right.
Though he be David, I have more than you do. I'll have to explain what that means in a second, and Rashi in a moment. Let's just finish this. Umadua hakilo sani v'lo hoya devari rishon li l'hashiv as malki. They clearly didn't buy it. They said that, why did you slight me?
Right.
Why is, as it says in English, was it not my initiative to bring back my king? Vayikash devar ish Yehudi devar ish Yisrael. And it says in English, but the words of the men of Yehuda were harsher than the words of the men of Yisrael. So they were, unfortunately, all of this very nice connection of being again connecting and inaugurating this king and to show allegiance caused, unfortunately, machloka, strife in Klal Yisrael. So if we look at Rashi, what does it mean that, anything that I do, you can do better? Yeah, they're supposed to be at 10:30. I'll be there in a few minutes. I know. Thanks. Esther Yados Li Bamelech. So Rashi says, Pasuk Man Dalad, Shano Asar Shvatim. What does it mean? We're better than you are. What do you mean we're better than you are? The point is that we're... That's a very interesting question. S Asar Shvatim.
I'm not... There's only 10 fingers.
Right, I guess, yeah. Otherwise you have an additional unit, an extra unit on your hand. Let's see if the English over here says anything on 45, page 338. I have 10 times as much share in the king, for we represent 10 tribes, while you are only 1 tribe. The Israelites did not include Binyamin with themselves, in their grievance against Yehuda, because there was in fact the substantial delegation of Binyamites with the kings. We mentioned that Binyamin also came with Yehuda. This is why they're referring to themselves as 10 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, minus Yehuda and Binyamin. So we mentioned it wasn't only Yehuda, there was also Binyamin that was there, which was the interesting thing, because Binyamin and Yehuda, you would think those are the two people that would be clashing. Right. They joined, as we said, by Binyamin joining.
Maybe Mephibosheth.
Yeah, he was the one, he was very much instrumental in all that. Right. So that's the that's the significance of the 10 tribes. But he's not saying we're 10 times better than you, but he said you can't look at this little cluster and say, okay, we're a strong minority. No, you can't look at a few people and ignore the masses. You have to think about what's best for the majority, right? You have to always look at how other people feel. It's not just one or two people pulling a few strings, then everyone else, you're with us or too bad. You have to be sensitive and to allow the masses also to participate. And this was the rebuke that they gave the people of Yehuda. Yes.
So the revolution, this whole revolution started in Yehuda. In Hebron.
Right, right. It's true. It's right. So this is the, this is again, now we're going to see the connection between how David is going to go back to Yerushalayim and see hopefully that there will no longer be any more fights, no more people rebelling against him, but unfortunately we'll see that is not the case. We'll have to see that next week.
We finished.